Good evening on the phone. We welcome you to the broadcast this evening. We're just firing up the video live feed in preparation for this evening, and we're so excited to have you with us. For those of you on the phone, we know several people are driving in their cars or unable to access their computer screens, so we're simulcasting this on both the telephone and live on the video so that all can participate, and we welcome you this evening. We're just a couple moments away from starting the event, so let's make sure everybody's hooked up. We're going to go ahead and unpause the chat so that if you're on the air and you're having any challenge at all, just send us a little text message. We'll be able to read it, and we'll know if there's a challenge. Otherwise, we're going to jump right into this thing in just a couple of seconds. So welcome to Tuesday Night Celebration for Life. It looks like we've reached our time. Well, we welcome everyone who's with us tonight. Many of you are guests of one of our affiliates or coaches, and we want to thank you for taking time to be with us tonight. We're going to do everything in our power to make the next hour of value to you, to give you some little nuggets of principles that can bless your life. We'd like to dedicate this evening to some very special people. You know, in just the last couple of days, Ramona and I have had the privilege of hearing from a number of individuals, some who have attended our couples retreats, some who have attended a woman's retreat, some who have coached with us, many who have been on this call. It's been very heartwarming in the last few days to hear from them, and the theme is always the same. For an example, we needed to short sell our home, and we've moved to another location. It's been really tough on us. If it weren't for these principles, we're not sure we would have made it. It's been an emotional time for Ramona and I as we have read these emails sent out today in a newsletter, actually yesterday in the Og Mandino newsletter, a proposed first chapter of the book for Intentional Creation. That's the brand, Intentional Creation, Og Mandino for the 21st Century title, Today I Begin a New Life, that first chapter. I spent the entire afternoon responding to emails from individuals who had commented. And, oh, what a wonderful thing to hear from you and to know that these principles will touch your life, because this is about principles, and it's about the practices and processes to help us take on our life. So we want to dedicate tonight this session to those who have had the courage to take on the firestorms of life and overcome those challenges. To you, God bless you. And what a privilege it is to know you and to watch you courageously take on life. We want to thank our staff tonight, particularly Kristen and Megan, for all of the work behind the scenes to make a broadcast like this possible. They are just unbelievable human beings. I add to that Chase, who's taking care of the marketing, and Chase Dixon. And, oh, Chase, I know you're on the call tonight. We just want to send our thanks to you as well. It's interesting. We talk about books. Just a couple things I want to go through with you tonight. I was sitting this morning working on a piece of the book, and I had this thought in my mind. Oh, I wish that Kevin Hall were available to read this right now. Kevin has been a coach of mine for some time, just an amazing human being. But I know Kevin has delivered 17 speeches in the last 18 days. This was not the time to send him a chapter. And interestingly enough, I get a phone call. And guess who's on the line? It's Kevin in between speeches. And he said, Dave, just thinking about you. Are you okay? And we had a wonderful conversation about life. And I told him about the chapter. He says, can you send them to me? Can you send them to me? He says, I'll read them, and I'll call you Thursday morning on the way to the airport to talk about it. I just want to express thanks for my coach, Kevin, and for the intuitive man that he is, this giver. May I, when I grow up, be like Kevin Hall. If you haven't read his book, Aspire, I told him today, I said, you know, there's that stage where you're giving birth to a book, and then there's that stage where you're getting it published and then marketing it, and then you've got all your friends promoting it, and then there's that stage when people are telling your friends about the book, and we've reached that stage. So if you haven't had a chance to get Aspire, go to Amazon and buy Aspire, Finding Your Purpose to the Path, finding your purpose through the power of words. It will inspire you. I want to tell you about one other book that's being released today. Today on Amazon, across the world, you'll find it in bookstores. It's Dan Burris's new book. Now, Dan is a futurist. He wrote the book Technotrends, if you remember that one from back when, a best-selling book. Dan is a consultant to Fortune 100 companies all over the world. Dan's been a dear friend of our board members for 10 years, a friend of mine for 10 years. Dan Call was telling me about this. He's invited Og Mandino Group to participate in a promotion. When someone buys his new book, they receive $20,000 worth of gifts. That's the likes of Jack Canfield and Brian Tracy and some of these wonderful human beings, including Og Mandino. When you buy the book, you're given a special code to go to this website and have access to so many free gifts. Just a brilliant idea. But more brilliant than the idea is the book. It's called Flash Foresight. Flash Foresight. Go to Amazon and pick it up. I was privileged to get an advanced copy. I don't think I'm supposed to tell anybody that, but I did consume the book. Dan has this brilliant way of having us skip our biggest problem, see the hard trends, identify solutions, think opposite to everyone else, and race ahead of competition in whatever job you're in or whatever profession or business you have. If you're finding any challenges with getting traction in your business, you're going to want to read his book, because as I was reading, it was like a catalyst. A catalyst is something that doesn't get consumed in the process. And it was causing me to think about possibilities about how to take the Og Mandino Group and meet the needs of the people, the hard trends, and help address these issues and find more and more creative ways to do things. You'll find out, in many ways, that you're doing a lot of the right things, and maybe you just need a tweak or two. So Dan Burris, and the book is Flash Foresight. Go to Amazon and pick up a copy, and if you've got business associates and partners, pick up one for them also. Now, I don't want to make a big commercial out of this. These are things that I made a list of tonight before we came on that I'm excited about. Kevin's book and how it's changing lives. Flash Foresight and what it's doing to help drive businesses. You're going to love Dan Burris. Two more things. Next week, Ramona and I are joining with a whole bunch of wonderful women to go up to our cabin in Bear Lake and take on life. It's a time of relaxation and rejuvenation and discussion of principles. We'll be able to explore individuals' assessment reports and spend time together. We'll have an esthetician. They'll be doing facials and all those kinds of things that women do. And we'll be doing some snowshoeing, and we've got a couple surprises for those who are coming. So if you haven't yet registered, go to ogmandino.com/women. ogmandino.com/women and come. Great opportunity. And if you have a loved one in your life, because quite often we discovered that I think almost half of the women who came to the last retreat would not have been there had their husband or boyfriend not sent them or their boss sent them. They just wouldn't have spent the money on themselves. They just wouldn't, especially when budgets are limited. Our promise to you, send them. We'll send them back feeling whole and healthy, embracing their divine nature. They will show up in all their power to bless your relationships. So ogmandino.com/women. The next month, our couples retreat. We've had 50 couples come to the cabin where we've had opportunities five at a time to take on their marriages. ogmandino.com/couples_retreat. Couples_retreat. You can log on those and find out more about those occasions and how we show up to serve you as a woman next week and as a couple the following month. This is an exciting time. This is Ramona's and my favorite events in the year, is to get together and help people take on their lives in this intimate setting, in the place where we go for our own healing. This is our own private place at Bear Lake, and we just want to bring you there and invite you to be a part of that. So thank you for that. Also, in the next 2 days, we want you to watch, especially guests who are with us tonight. We're going to take on the first quality of six qualities of an intentional creator. We are going to make a change in a couple of days where not only can you purchase the studio with all of this material, we're going to make it available with a relatively small down payment and 11 small payments that you can balance over a year, because the program is a year program. We want everybody to be able to have these principles in their life. Everyone. We don't want finances to be a barrier. So watch the site. If you haven't taken your assessment, go to www.intentionalcreation.com. Take your assessments. It's free. And when you get to the tool set, explore the tools that are there and the options. And in a couple of days, there's going to be not only options for you to buy it singly, but to be able to buy it over the course of a year so everybody can have it. Well, we'd like to thank all of those, again, who have invited people to be here, and those of you who are regulars. This is a time when we celebrate life. We celebrate hope. With all the firestorms that are raging around us, and how those firestorms want to suck us down into those dark dungeons of discouragement and despair, we want to find ways to rise above that, to be able to see opportunity that's available, and to be able to create magnificent things in our lives in spite of the firestorms. That's why we come here every Tuesday night, to study these principles so you can apply them in your life and begin to experience those changes that we have seen in the lives of hundreds and thousands of people. Oh, my goodness, wouldn't it be fun for you to be here with us every Tuesday night? Well, tonight, we're going to take on Quality One, which is connecting with people. Now, Og started scroll number 2 with these words. I will greet this day with love in my heart. The love he was talking about was agape love, a heightened level of awareness, being able to see the pricelessness in another person. This is the greatest secret of success in all ventures, he says. Muscle can split a shield, that wall we have around us, and even destroy life. But only the unseen power of love can open the hearts of men. And until we master this art, being able to see someone is priceless and unique. Until we master this, we're no more than a peddler in the marketplace. A peddler. He says, I will make this my greatest weapon, and none on whom I call can offend against its force. And he says, with this I can open all hearts, not some, but all hearts, liken unto the sun whose rays soften the coldest clay. We're going to talk about some very, if I may use the word, sacred principles tonight, about how to step into someone's world and take down their walls of resistance and to connect with them at a deep and a rich level. This is not about manipulation. This is about clarity. This is about caring. This is about connection. You ready to get started? I'll pull out a paper and a pen. Now, if you have your studio, you can go to Quality One and review all the information we talked about tonight. There's a couple or 3 hours on this information. I'm going to give you some highlights for you to consider. We know from Dr. Hartman, Robert Hartman's work, he was the one who did the mathematics for our assessment. He's a formal axiological mathematics, very powerful instrument. Dr. Hartman was able to measure that on average, a person holds back 40% of their cooperation and their productivity until they feel valued as a human being. And his measurement was done in a non-adversarial relationship, relatively stress-free. Now, if you're in a situation where you're selling people or you're recruiting people into your vision, whatever it might be, you're managing people, they've got a lot of other things going on in their lives, there's a possibility that that wall could actually be higher than 40%. This is a hard fact. It's not something we get to negotiate. It's not even something we get to be angry about. This is like the sun comes up every morning. We all have a wall of resistance, and behind that wall is dammed up our cooperation and our productivity. Once we know this, and if we can examine our own lives, I mean, when's the last time you're sitting at dinner, like at 6 o'clock at night, long day, you're there with the family, and the phone rings, and it's someone wanting to sell you something? Now, some of you would reverse them and try to sell them your product, and that would be fun. But how often do we say, no thank you, take me off your list? I mean, how much cooperation and productivity does that salesperson get from us in that moment? The answer might be zero. We've had this experience. We've also had the experience where we were very excited about something. Maybe we found a new business opportunity or a new something, and we want to enroll people in our vision. And so we excitedly start telling them about it, and we begin throwing up all over their wall. And blah, and blah, and blah. And when it hits their wall, it splashes back on us, and it tastes awful. It's called rejection. We projected, it was rejected. Well, we can sometimes take that really personally and go, ah, they don't like me, they don't like what I'm doing. That can be true, but really the primary issue is you're just throwing up on a wall. My teenage daughters used to say, you know, talk to the hand. You know, it's that kind of a thing. We're throwing up on a wall. We're not talking to the person. We're talking to their resistance and resentment and suspicion. So if we want to connect with someone, first we recognize there's a wall. Two, we're going to want to learn how to take it down. So that's walls of resistance. Next, empathy, intuition. Now, these are the tools we're going to use to take down the walls. And this may be the greatest news that I can ever share with you. I wish I could tell you a story from a coaching session today. Tuesday at 1 o'clock, I get to coach with my four daughters. It's just the most precious time together to watch them take on their lives and their children. And we were talking today. I'll tell you kind of briefly. We were talking today. I think I could share this if I share it carefully. About getting an inspiration to talk to somebody. And being hesitant for fear that they would be offended. And this daughter knew a lot about the situation this person was struggling with. Her life experiences had uniquely prepared her to serve, as have yours. And especially those things that have been the most painful, arduous, uncomfortable, delicate, awful experiences. The truth is that many, many of us, I know I have, carry those failures in a sack, just draped over our shoulder, so big that it's dragging on the ground behind us. In the material, I talk about a dream I had one night when I was in Chicago getting ready to speak. And I talk about this dream. I was dragging a sack in the dream, and I was approaching this person who was standing on the path approaching me, and I wanted to connect with this person. And I got this strong impression, this instruction, to let go of the sack. The relief. And before I could connect, I got the impression to turn around and look at the sack. There it was. Then I was asked to empty it. And I emptied it. Didn't want to. Because in my sack, and you might consider, what's in yours? These were all my failures, all my disappointments, all the things that have been done to me, anything I'd ever done to hurt anybody else, it was all in that sack. And I was sitting there staring at this pile of what were silver orbs with spikes on them. Then I was asked to pick up the most painful of them all. And I knew which one it was. I'd have been avoiding it for 50 years. For 50 years. I wasn't asked to relive the experience, just to remember what the results were. The sense of abandonment and aloneness and discouragement. It happened in Chicago about 50 years earlier. My hardworking dad worked all night, went to school during the day. My mom worked during the day. Everything they could to just eke by while they're going to college. And there was this couple who couldn't have children who just adored me and my sister. And they were so gracious. They wanted to take us in, and they bought gifts for us and took us to wonderful places. And at Christmas time, Santa Claus came. Oh, it was wonderful. My parents thought. These two devils were pedophiles. Now, what's in your sack? What have you been carrying around for a lifetime? What's been weighing you down? What's been causing such a burden that it just gets in your way? I want to give you a couple things. One, there may be some things in that sack that may need therapeutic intervention. And don't be ashamed of that. Oh, go get some assistance. If you're ready to move past it, I want to share with you how, and then how this will become your greatest asset. I want you to ask this question. Just look forward, like I did with this man standing in front of me, and ask, I wonder if, that's the question, I wonder if anyone else is having a similar experience. I just wonder if. That allows us to look outside ourselves to the world, to other people. It's the beginning of our healing. I wonder if. Because in the dream, I was asked to pick it up and hold this silver orb. There I was. And I was instructed to place it against my chest and press it into my chest. I was telling Kevin Hall about this dream, and he said, stop right there. Stop, David. Do you know what it means to engrave something on your heart? And I said, no, I just know what it felt like. And he said, that's the purest definition of character. Character. Not like an actor in a play. The substance from which we are. Our essence. I pressed that into my heart. I thought it would hurt, and it didn't. It just expanded my heart. I felt more whole, more complete, more at peace. And I was asked to pick up the next and do likewise, and the next and do likewise. I had quite a pile. And when I got done, I was taught a great lesson. For the pile was gone. It was no longer in a sack, no longer to be dragged around as this victim who was innocently harmed as a child. I was no longer carrying around failure in a real estate market or loss of millions of dollars or all of the stuff that can happen in our lives. People I'd hurt. My crazy teenage years. Oh, wow. Finally, it was in here. Then I was asked to turn around. And as I turned around and I looked at the man standing in front of me, the whole entire experience finally made sense. It was the first time I noticed that he too was carrying a sack. You see, I couldn't see his sack until I owned in my heart what was in mine. Our character was forged in the furnace of adversity. We can't take that back. We can't change that. But we know what pain feels like. We know. We can use this rich resource, this understanding we now have, to reach out and better connect and serve another human being. We know the questions to ask. We know what it feels like. We know. The questions no one else would know to ask or think to ask. and have that person go, finally, somebody understands where I am. Oh. Down come the walls of resistance. Out floods the cooperation and productivity. And there is finally, purpose in all of that suffering. Our Gethsemanes in our own private lives now make sense. Not what happened, but how to use them to serve others. And there is finally purpose. There is finally joy in our journey. Instead of, we are serving and lifting and building others and feeling this cooperation, productivity flooding down upon us. That's joyful. And as it occurs, we start to experience much needed healing in our souls. Your single greatest asset is your life experience. As Og said, this love, this agape love, this ability to see that person, frankly, the way God sees them, unconditionally, to be able to see their sack, to be able to ask those questions, to serve them. This is the greatest secret of success in all ventures. All ventures. Everything else we teach is built on this principle. And those of you who have had the most traumatic events in your life are the ones who could be the most prepared, the most uniquely prepared for this very moment in time to serve those who are in need, because there is tremendous need. You can feel it in your own lives, and you can see it in the eyes of your friends and family. You've been prepared for this. Now, most of us would say, I would have liked to have avoided that. Yeah. But we don't get to go back. We can't take it back. But we can use it to more effectively connect and serve others. May you this night see how to hold your life experiences differently. Don't drag them around in a sack. Hold them in your heart. And find the joy of, I wonder if. And see how people are put on your path who you can uniquely serve. Oh, you've heard me say this. Abundance is not something we win. It's not something we seek to receive. Abundance is a sacred process in which we actively participate and eventually become. Our mission with intentional creation is not to help you seek for abundance so you can have it. It's to assist you in becoming abundant. And one of the great things you'll do is to own this in here, showing up for them. These are the tools, and you have them in abundance. And oh, the joy that awaits you. Now, let's jump right into, we know we've got walls to take down. We know we've got empathy, intuition, these two gifts that come from our life experiences. Now we're ready. Okay, Dave, what do? There are seven principles. We call them the seven principles of intrinsic validation. Let's write that down. Seven principles of intrinsic validation. The IC Studio, the Intentional Creation Studio in Quality One, goes into great detail in these seven qualities. I want to share with you some highlights from the first three or four tonight. We'll watch our time. We'll do as many as we can tonight, and next Tuesday we'll come back and finish the seven qualities, and then we'll address the topic of partnership in our own relationships and with a power that's greater than us in more effectively connecting and serving others. So let's start with principle number one. Write this down. And you might make a T-square. On the left-hand side, write, noticing. Just noticing. On the right-hand side, write, caring. Now, as we go into each one of these, I'm going to click on the screen, and if everything goes well, it's actually going to show up tonight. Live sound is still on. Can you see this? This is the left-hand side of your assessment report. There are 6 measurements to help us in more effectively taking on these principles of intrinsic validation. See right up there at the top? That one that says empathy, being able to see the pricelessness in a human being. 4 down is respectful. Respectful is being able to see someone's accomplishments and their possessions and their contributions and to appropriately recognize those things. The next one down is called accepting. Being able to see the wrong, the bad in a person and the good in a person, and being able to see them in balance. Because the truth is, no one lives up to 100% of what they believe. They do their best, but they don't live up to 100%. So if we're looking for what's wrong, we'll always see it. We're going to want to have balance in this measurement so that when we get a red flag over here, we can trust that it is a real red flag. It's not just because we're looking for what's wrong. It's because it is something we need to be careful about. Working our way down toward the bottom, the very bottom, we've down there we've got, I'll do this with the correct hand, down there we have compassion. Now, passion is a willingness to suffer for something we love. Compassion, a willingness to suffer with someone. It literally means being able to see somebody else's pain. Can we see it? Or do we only see it if theirs is more serious than what we're experiencing? About 4 up from that, you'll see the measurement, just and fair. I have this measurement out of balance. You know, we call this the gunny sack rule. There is an infraction. Somebody does something, and we go, wow, you know, I don't like that, but, you know, it's not serious enough to blow a relationship over or destroy a business, so we stick it in a gunny sack. And then there's another one, and we stick that in the gunny sack, and then there's another one, and that gunny sack, and the gunny sack, and the gunny sack, and all of a sudden, one day, something happens. Anybody done this? Anybody? Is there anybody in your life, personally or professionally, past or future, past or present, excuse me, who is draining you emotionally or physically or financially or spiritually, and this keeps happening, this infraction, and you don't know how to confront it. You don't know what to do. But what happens when you go to put it in the gunny sack and the gunny sack is full? I can tell you what I do. I dump the gunny sack. And then the person says, what's the big deal? All I said was, why are you so upset? And now we're sorting through all these little things that add up to a lot of frustration, but none of them really significant because we've already given our tacit approval to that behavior, no matter how aberrant it was. Anybody have this challenge? Can you imagine this thought process getting in the way? How accurately can we assess a situation, step into a person's world, and really be there if we can't see clearly? Sometimes, when we step into someone's world, we find out we're dealing with a rattlesnake. We don't put rattlesnakes in our sleeping bags. Because when we climb in, they bite us. We want to be clear. Tolerant. If anybody has this measurement orange, consider a red. How many people do you want to save? Do you ever find yourself looking out for the underdog? Have you ever found yourself wanting to save someone more than they actually wanted to be saved? Now, if we're going to err, that would be a great way to err. But we sometimes don't see the risks associated with helping someone who maybe doesn't want to be helped. So think about this, all six of these. We go up here and go, what happens if empathy is orange and we're having a hard time seeing the uniqueness in the person because we've been in a bad relationship and we've been hurt and we're just cautious and a little reserved? How difficult would it be to see from back here? If we're focused too much on how they look, we may start to create expectations about how they'll perform, or we might feel nervous and uncomfortable about them. Is this going to serve us? If we're looking for what's wrong, we might just be critical and judgmental. You'll hear in Scroll 2 when Og says, when I meet someone, silently and to myself, I will say, I love you. Unwrinkle my brow, bring a smile to my face. You'll hear it in the tone of my voice. We know when someone's judging us. They certainly know when we're judging them. It leaks out all over our face. If we're not seeing someone else's pain, can we really step into their world? Compassion. Just and fair, if we can't set appropriate boundaries, do you think we might get in trouble doing this? Yeah. Tolerant. If we can't see when there might be a terrible risk of doing so, helping someone, do you think we might get in trouble doing this? At the core of the seven principles is this. Intrinsic validation is not about naivete. It's not about being naively kind. It's just about seeing a person with agape love, a heightened level of awareness, and caring enough to step into their world and being with them where they are. You may choose after doing so not to associate anymore. It's possible. You also will create a safe place where the walls will come down and deep connection can be made. I want to emphasize this because so often people who begin this process think it's soft, and it is far from soft. It is the most intense thing you can do with a human being, to notice them, to listen to them, to gain understanding, to sacrifice all the noise in your head to show up for them. The most intense thing we can do. So here is principle one. So on the left-hand side of that T-square, and I'm going to click this back for a moment, so I'll be back with you. On the left-hand side, we wrote the word noticing. Underneath that, write number one. Look for what's important to another person. Look for what's important to another person. Now, here's a hint. It most likely is something you don't care about, maybe don't even agree with, or would not want in your life. And we discover the first underlying principle, which is, this isn't about you. It's not about you. It's about them. Can we see what is important to them? I've mentioned a couple of examples in the material. The most profound, and my sweetheart is sitting right next to me here, our moderator for the chat room. We were at the couples retreat, and a gentleman had tattoos on his arm right here. They were three crosses on one arm, had him on the other arm, had him on his chest, had him on his back. He'd been in the jacuzzi. I'd seen them. I stepped into his world and said, tell me about the tattoos. And he said, well, I always wanted to have tattoos, and I always wanted to join the Marines. That was his goal at 18. He joined the Marines. He was getting shipped over to Iraq, to Fallujah of all places. And he went in and got these crosses put on. He said, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I wanted them where I could see them. I wanted them protecting my chest. I wanted them watching my back. There wasn't anyone who wasn't focused on this man as he talked. He said, when I went over to Fallujah, I was in the battle of Fallujah, mortarmen. He said, I could smell death. and every breath. Wow. He survived. Came home for 9 months, and they sent his unit back. What did he do? He went back to the tattoo parlor and had them reinforced. Big drop shadows. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and in on his back. Why? I've been there, he said. I knew what I was going to be encountering. I wanted to make absolutely sure that I was protected. Here's the secret. I don't have a tattoo. I probably never, ever get one. Until that moment, I never understood why someone would, other than it was like cool or something, you know, an athlete or something doing something on their body. I didn't understand it. I understood it then. There wasn't a dry eye in the room because everybody else did too. Because as a team around this man, we cared enough to notice what was important to him. Our daughter shared a story over Christmas time. It was the previous Christmas, and her husband, Ramona, and me were out to dinner in preparation for going to a concert downtown, a Christmas concert. We got in a taxi. Taxi driver, female with a mullet. Interesting. Arm up on the steering wheel with a tattoo on her forearm. My life had been changed forever by this gentleman in our couples retreat. And I said, tell me about the tattoo on your forearm. She lit up. She was from West Virginia. Her brother lives in West Virginia. They were joined at the hip since they were young kids. And she began to explain everything in that tattoo that was a representation of her brother. And then she tenderly touched it. She said, this way, my brother is with me all the time. Oh, we had a wonderful connection with this human being. Something most of us may not appreciate. This next week, your assignment is to look at what's important to other people. What is it? Can you see it? Maybe they just got a new car. It might be 20 years old. You may not want that car, but this isn't about you. Can you see how important that car is to them? Can we see it and acknowledge it? If our respectful measurement is out of balance, we may fail to see it, or we may judge it if our accepting is out of balance. My car's better, or what a lame car. What might we say? Or just not notice it at all. We might miss this opportunity. This isn't faking. This isn't acting. This is finally noticing another human being and caring enough to say something. They matter. Oh, have some fun with this week. Have some fun and drop me an email at dave@ogmandino.com. dave@ogmandino.com. Tell me your experience of noticing someone. Oh, this is a glorious thing. This is just the beginning. We are so tied up in our own stuff as we walk through the world, we don't even notice anyone. Or if we do, we're looking at outward appearances, or we might be judging them, and this time we're not going to do that. Oh, this is a glorious thing to do. Now, you see it? Write number two under there. Verbalize it. Verbalize it. Say something. And I've separated these two principles because we see more than we say. We just do as human beings. Seeing it doesn't make it so. Because we have thought it doesn't allow everybody else to know. If that's the world we live in, we think everybody kind of knows what we're thinking. They have no clue. Unless we actually speak it. Let us verbalize what we see. That's on the column of noticing. One, notice what's important to other people. And two, verbalize it. If you've got small children, try this with them. I don't know about you, but I would have the kids clean up the room, and I'd walk in, and I spot the one sock that's out of place. You know, if I compliment them for the job they've done and it's an inferior job, my mind wants to say that I'm helping them justify inferior jobs. That's not true. When we find the good a person does and we validate it, they know. They know. It inspires them. It brings down their walls, out floods their cooperation and productivity. We don't need to tell people what's wrong. So fun in the couples retreats. In the summertime, we go up in these things called razors, and they're side by side, and in the passenger seat is a bar. They call it an OS bar, if you can imagine. And we have the ladies drive first. And we take them over some really fun, rough terrain, and toward the end, up a really steep hill. And they're driving, and the husbands are just clinging on for life. And the instruction is this. You cannot say anything to your wife during this trip except for good things. Because I say to them, if they hit a rock, and you say, you just hit a rock, can you imagine your wife going, duh, was that what that was? Is that a rock? It's like we don't know. Of course we know we hit a rock. And so they would get really creative about, you got around that rock as good as you could. Have some fun with this. Look for the good. Look for what's important and verbalize it. Next, principle number three. He says, I've got a question here. Will you requote what you said about abundance? We don't win it, we don't seek it, and what was the last part? Great question, and especially as we go into this third principle of intrinsic validation. Abundance is not something we win. Everybody got that? Now, we can win the lottery. That doesn't make us abundant. We don't seek to win abundance. We don't seek even to receive it. For the last decade, we've been in the pursuit of having abundance. Look what it's done to us. We've funded our fantasies with credit cards and home equity lines until we are broke, broken, and angry. Emotionally broke, spiritually broken, emotionally disillusioned and angry. So we don't, abundance is not something we seek to receive. Now some have said you tell this universe what you want because the universe is stupid and it'll give you whatever you want. Oh, I hope you have a lightning rod. They have a lightning rod. The last is, abundance is a sacred process. A sacred process in which we actively participate. We look for the good in someone. We verbalize it. We're noticing people. The next step we're going to talk in a moment. We actively participate and eventually become as abundance. And we begin this process by focusing on others because it never was about us. We're noticing what's important. We're now verbalizing it. And now we're going to move to the next step. This is the graduate version of intrinsic validation, the first step. Write this on the right-hand side under caring. And what I want you to write is this. Listen for doors. Listen for doors. Stephen Covey calls it listening to understand. We're listening for a door, a verbal hint about what someone is thinking. We telescope them all the time. And you listen to two people talking at a restaurant. Oh, I had a really rough day with the children. Yeah, me too. Everybody's in their own world talking about their own stuff, and nobody stops to say, well, tell me more about your life. Tell me more about what you're experiencing. We're listening for doors, a hint that can get us behind the wall of resistance, get us inside their world. Now, those verbal hints can be toxic and hurtful. Those are hard ones to respond to. What are you doing? Everybody knows this is a scam. Or, what are you thinking? Or, you never pay attention to me. Or, you're the most selfish person in the world. Or whatever might happen. Those are all doors. Those are huge barn doors. It could be as simple as, I'm really tired tonight. When we hear a door, and if you start listening for them this week, you'll hear them everywhere. You'll get better and better at hearing them. When you hear a door, you simply say something like, tell me more about that. Tell me more about that. Share with me what you're thinking. Or, leaning in, I'm listening. The instant you make this decision, you have just entered rarefied territory. When was the last time someone cared enough about you to step into your world and listen without needing to fix you or judge you? When's the last time that happened? I've asked that question thousands of times, and there's almost always this pause. Occasionally someone says, my spouse or good friend. The rare folks have a rare person. But most of the time they say, never. Well, tonight we get to start being part of that very rare group. It doesn't matter how well you do this at first. Just doing it sets you apart from the rest of the world. When I shared these principles, and this is the third of seven, Scott Irwin, who's the CEO of Apex Pipe Company down in Texas, they're the largest used pipe company in the United States. Scott said to me, and I have permission to share this, he said, how many people know this? And I said, a few. And he said, could we keep this to ourselves? And then he laughed. He knew we were going to teach it to the world. He said, we intrinsically validate everyone. And we're in the pipe business, for heaven's sake. I know that in the last month, he went through one of the most trying experiences with a client that a business could go through, involving millions of dollars in payments. The average person would have fallen apart. His office staff commented to me how miraculous it was to watch him. And he solved the challenge because he cared enough to do this. So principle number three of intrinsic validation is to listen for a door, and when you hear it, step into the person's world. I'm just watching the clock to make sure we're okay, so I apologize. Now, here's a key. If you make this decision to hear a door and step in, you must also make the decision to leave your agenda, that's all the stuff you want to sell, and your baggage, all of your need to fix and be right or whatever else might be showing up in those thought processes. Leave all of that baggage at the door. Just leave it at the door. You're walking into a very sacred space, and we walk in. And step number four, principle four, is to create a safe place. That means we listen. Our empathy now comes to play. As we listen and hear doors, and this empathy is in our heart, our experiences are right here, we will feel something intuitively. Wow, I wonder if I should ask them this. We try it. Maybe not exact, but pretty close. Wow, how does it show up for you? And someone starts to share. Because we actually care enough to listen. This is a wonderful thing to do. We're creating a safe place. And the safer the safe place, the sooner the walls come down. The walls, Og tells us, are built around their hearts because of fear and suspicion, hate. When we're safe, there's no need for a wall, and it comes down. Now, a couple of risks. One, we're going to have them tell us a story, and we're going to go, oh, man, that happened to me. Maybe we've got an even better one. Or are we so excited? I know exactly what you're talking about. We want to tell them our story. Well, I'm going to give you a visual. It's like grabbing them by the nape of the neck, yanking them out of their world, over our bridge, into our world, sitting them down, telling them our story, blah, 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 grabbing them by the nape of the neck, taking them outside our world, over the bridge, into their world, sitting them down and saying, okay, keep going. I hope some of you are chuckling. I know sometimes I just had to bite my tongue because the story is so cool, it's so awesome, and I can't tell it. Not now. In step 7 I can, but not right now. Right now I'm in their world listening to them. If I truly know what they're experiencing, then I know the question to ask. If I don't know the question to ask, well, I don't yet quite know where they really are. Could you share with me a little bit more about this that you mentioned so I can better understand what's happening in your life? Stay in their world. And 2, as you try this week, you can narrow the context a little bit. You sit down with a friend, you want to tell them maybe about your business. Well, you start off with, tell me about your life. And an hour and a half later, they're still telling you about their life, and you're still stepping in their world, and you're going, oh, man, if I got 10 more minutes, and I want to tell them about my business opportunity, what do I do? And we drop that lead balloon. You know, the reason why I brought you to lunch was really this, and just to be honest, sit down. The reason why I invited you to lunch today is I wanted to explore with you your opinion about or your experience with. And all the rules apply. We listen. Oh, tell me more about that. Share with me what you're thinking. What happened next? You will find a wealth of information within that context that can serve you as we move into step 5, 6, and 7, which we'll do next week. We'll learn how to try on their dream to make sure that it's our advice we're about to give could really serve them. We're going to discuss timing. Is this the right time to say it? Because sometimes it's just not. We just need to be right. Want to do it right then. It's not the time. And 7, inviting them into our world, gaining agreement to tell them our story and to share with them what we think could serve them. We'll talk about how to handle objections. We'll discover that objections aren't questions that need an answer. They're a statement that demand a question. What kind? I'll share that with you next week. And then we'll spend some time in partnership. This week, look for what's important to those people. Just watch everyone. You can do this with everyone who comes within 3 feet of you. Notice what's important to them. And then 2, verbalize it. Then listen for doors and step into their world. And watch what happens when those walls come down. And cooperation and productivity start to flood out when you become safe. Now just know, it's going to be hard to let go of that agenda at first and that baggage. And you'll feel them going, what's coming? This feels too much too, yeah, just let go of that energy. Because they'll pick it up. They'll know. We'll spend a little time on mirror neurons next week. The little things in the amygdala, the fight-or-flight center of the brain, and how they act as radar systems. People can read our facial expressions. 200 muscles. Billions of different facial expressions. Our thoughts leak out on our face, even when we're trying to hold them in. People know. They know for real. You know. You can tell. And so can they. Well, we're just right up to the hour. To support you this week in this practice, I would like to have you read scroll number 2. I'll greet this day with love in my heart. And we're going to do this 3 times a day, morning, noon, and night. We're going to get later in quality number 4, resistance, when we're talking about discipline and structure, that resistance to sticking to a structure. I just take it on. It's 4.5 minutes long. This is one of my favorite scrolls. I still remember the night I'm driving home. And I start thinking about Ramona. And I recall the conversation that morning. And she shared with me some things she's going to do that day would just be exhausting. And I just didn't hear it. I was so consumed in my own stuff. And I started to reflect on that. I thought, she has got to role is playing, because its purpose is to raise our awareness. This isn't about reading a scroll, getting an idea, and telling the heavens, shut up, I'm reading. This is about having it wake us up and take action. I picked up the phone, called her, and said, sweetheart, what are we having for dinner? She says, oh, I haven't gotten to you. I said, no, would it help if I brought it home? She said, that would be wonderful. Stop by and got some food. There's a flower shop next door. Got another inspiration. Buy some flowers. I can still remember the moment I walked into the kitchen, food in one hand, flowers in the other. She had her back to me in the kitchen. She turned around, and she began to weep. And I said, the scrolls are working. The scrolls are working. Let these scrolls support you. I'll greet this day with love in my heart so that you can, this week, stay focused on seeing what's important, verbalizing it, listening for doors and stepping into their world, and beginning to create that safe place where the walls can start to come down. Some people say at first, well, this takes too long, Dave. Well, you skip this, and your close will take forever. Because all the issues that come out in the beginning will eventually come out. Why not care enough to discover them right up front so that you can make a better decision about how to effectively serve that person? May you do so this week. I'm just checking to see if there are any of the messages there or not. So we're going to close for the night. Everybody have a great week, and we shall see you next Tuesday evening.